Welcome to Classical Conversations. I'm Haley Taylor, and joining me today we have quite the special guest, vocalist, violinist, composer, and producer, the youngest recipient of the Pulitzer Prize for Music, it's Caroline Shaw. Caroline, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So we're going to be talking about your new album, and there is so much to talk about because within this album, you're quoting 18th and 21st century poetry. There's the voice of Carl Sagan within there. It's also performed on Baroque instruments. And so first I want to talk about your connection with the Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra. You've worked with them, I believe, for the first time in 2015. So talk about, let's go back to 2015 and talk about that collaboration when you first started working with the PBO.
Sure. I was really lucky to get to work with them in the beginning, sort of through a connection with the mezzo-soprano Anne-Sophie von Otter. And I had written a song for her and a string quartet the year before, and we decided we enjoyed working together. So we thought, what if we do something new for PBO and for her? And I had grown up certainly listening to PBO's recordings of Handel with Lorraine Hunt Lieberson. And so it was really exciting to get to work with them. And I'm a Baroque violinist and early music singer myself, so I have a real fondness for those instruments. So we started, and I wrote a song which was a setting of Robert Burns' Red, Red Rose. And then we kind of went from there and decided to keep on making music together.
And you mentioned this connection that you have with Baroque music. Is this, though, really your first time really putting it in the forefront on an album, really kind of out loud creating Baroque music for Baroque instruments?
Yeah, I think it's the first large scale piece that I've written for early instruments. I think I've done a couple little experiments before, and what I really love about it is working with the players and these particular musicians of Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra and these particular singers, because they have they bring a certain creativity about the phrasing to the music that you don't always find in other kinds of ensembles. So I can write, write a melody that has one shape, and they'll bring sort of the whole history of the conversations that they've had about phrasing in Bach and Scarlatti to that music, which is really fun. So you, as a composer, you're sort of having a conversation with the musicians. And then the music that kind of comes out is definitely relate. There's definitely a conversation, of course, with earlier styles of music, but kind of takes a different turn. I sometimes think of it like, about fan fiction, like where people write stories based on characters in novels, but the characters do something entirely different, for better or worse. But it feels like a little bit like that with writing music for me sometimes.
You know, you mentioned kind of your first album featuring Baroque instruments, but also really your first oratorio on this album as well. You have The Listeners. Listening to it, it's so mesmerizing because it is this wonderful collaboration between like the techniques of 18th century music, but also your wholly contemporary style kind of mixed together. For you, was it kind of a dream to always write your own oratorio?
It definitely wasn't something that I ever thought that I would do. And I feel funny about the word oratorio because it's so, it's very antiquated and it really conjures up, particularly like, Handel oratorios. But it is definitely in that form. And I kind of enjoy working within older forms and then kind of pushing the edges outward a little bit. So we start with the standard setup of orchestra and chorale and two soloists. But then the ways that the harmony kind of takes a turn are a little bit different from what one would be expecting. But it's, and another part of writing, a piece like The Listeners, which is, over half an hour long, I think it's the longest, it might be the biggest thing I think I've ever done, is that 90% of writing the piece is reading. And I probably spent a year just, reading lots of different things, trying to figure out the structure of the piece. What is it about? And what are the words that could capture it? And then what is the kind of journey through different poetic voices that that can maybe achieve some kind of end that I'm after?
And speaking of voices, I mean, there's the late scientist Carl Sagan featured on The Listeners. talk about that connection. I mean, adding that into this piece of music was so interesting, and how you first thought of that, first thought of adding that narrative into your oratorio.
Sure. The piece sort of concept began with this concept of the 1977 Golden Record that went onto the Voyager spacecraft. And this was a sort of delightful, quirky, strange project of Carl Sagan's to collect sounds and music and voices from around Earth and put them on a record and put it on the side of a spacecraft and send it out into outer space, which is a crazy idea. There's a really great Radiolab podcast about this, actually. The real question there is, for me, why do we make music? Why do we as humans make things, create things? And then why do we record ourselves? And thinking about the history of recording, beginning with early, you know, Edison wax cylinders and vinyl records and cassette tapes. And, you know, what is it about these sort of older formats and our general desire to record ourselves and send it out into the world? And also this sort of very universal yearning to look up at the sky and wonder about the stars and wonder about our place in the universe. So a lot of, there are a lot of big questions, a lot of, big topics of the human condition wrapped in there, but kind of in these little, through the words of various poets.
Lights, please. Now, it was clear that because the picture, Voyager 1 picture, was taken from beyond the orbit of Neptune, that the Earth would appear only as a single picture element, a single pixel. You would not even see continents. You could not tell any detail. From that perspective, national boundaries were not in evidence. So there it is. The Earth, it's a pale blue dot. That's us.
And the great part about this album that it was recorded live in California back in 2019, especially during a time when live performances for classical music, but also for other genres, are just not possible. For you, you know, releasing this album in 2020, a time when, again, live performances aren't possible, how did it change your thoughts about the album, if it did at all, or even, you know, the future of this album in regards to performance?
I will say that I dearly, dearly miss being in a room with people listening to music or playing music or just seeing other people who love music in the room. And it's something that I know will come back. I just know that I'm going to weep. I'm going to cry so much when the first time I get to sit in a seat in a concert hall and hear something. I'm very lucky to get to have recorded this piece before everything kind of closed down, and I'm fortunate to be able to release it into the world, and I just look forward to seeing all those musicians again.
Mm. Do you think it has affected how you think about your own music, or even do you think there would be a shift in how you compose into this next season with everything that has happened, you know, specifically to performers, you know, trying to perform live, but also in the kind of music that you want to create coming out of 2020?
You know, I'm a little bit too close to it now to be able to answer the question. I'm writing, I've always got 4 or 5 different projects going. There's a piece for choir that I'm writing right now, where I find myself slowing down a little bit. And I think I was doing this right before, like in January, I wrote a piece which was really about a certain walk in the woods in a particular tree and slowing down. And there's a sense of, it's not waiting, but attention that feels different now during this time. I'll answer that question in a couple of years. We'll know. I'm curious. I think people are dealing with this in different ways. For me, the hardest part is the grief about a lot of my colleagues who are performers primarily or solely, and the just the devastation kind of emotionally and financially is really hard to reckon with. But there are a lot of things that the country is going through right now, which I think we've needed to go through, and it's important to have a big shift and have this time to think about these things.
Yeah, talking about a shift, I think, you know, you're known as someone who often, in your introduction, even in my own introduction, it's often noted that you're the youngest person to win the Pulitzer Prize for Music. You're kind of known as someone who creates contemporary music. If you think of, you know, your Partita for Eight Voices, music that kind of combines different styles but feels very contemporary. And writing this new album and even forging new albums, is there a pressure on yourself to either stick to that contemporary form or to make sure you're pushing the envelope? Do you feel that pressure in creating new work moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone has a very different idea about what new and what the envelope is and how to push it and where. And, you know, at a certain point, I have to write the music that I would like to hear. It's sort of where I started writing music was I wrote Partita for Eight Voices because I wanted to hear a group of people make one sound going into another sound. And then I kind of constructed music before that moment and after that moment. And I still think that that's the best impetus for making anything is to, fill a void for yourself that is there. I really kind of enjoy kind of working within older forms or working within really standard forms, and whether or not people notice it, it's a little bit subversive. So I'm always trying to kind of, you know, pull it apart just a little bit, or kind of find the windows and find the holes, and then kind of open it up in a way that for me is just fun and interesting and creative and is a thing to do during my short time on this earth. So there's a, you know, the pressure that I think, you know, critics and people put on things is can be really hard for an artist. And I guess my way of dealing with it is to make the things that I want to hear. And that's all one can do.
Well, we're so happy that you are creating. And I remember hearing that on this new album that it was going to be an oratorio, and I was so curious to hear what that would sound like. And it was just such a, it's weird, it's so new and fresh, and yet it feels totally Caroline Shaw. There's something so Shaw about it, which is kind of a wonderful compliment, I think, to you and the work that you're performing and creating.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm so excited to share it with our listeners, especially during a time when, as I mentioned earlier, for classical music performers and composers, it's hard to make that connection live. But live on the radio, it'll work for now. But Caroline Shaw, thank you so much for joining us today on Classical Conversations. And I wish you the best in this next season coming out of 2020.
Oh, thanks. It's really great to talk to you. And thanks for all you do in public radio. I love it.